Okay, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hey on the base of Avodah Zarah lists Eilu Dvarim Shel Avdei Kochav Masurin Ve'ein Isur Anisur Hana. One of the things on the list is shalakos, literally boiled foods. That's what we call bishalakum. Then the Gemara on Daf Lamed Zayin Mevei is the next page. Antalam Chesem Analis attempts to source out the Isur Shalakos, the Isur Bishalakum, which presumably is an Isur Drabanan. So the Gemara initially quotes a pasuk in our Sedra, Minani Mili, towards the bottom, the three lines before the end of the short lines. Amr Chiver Abar Mivyochanan Amr Kra Ochel Bakesef Tasbireni Vachalti Amay Bakesef Titanli Vishasisi. So the Geder of Bishal Akum is based on the pasuk in Parshas Devarim, Ochel Mayim Kemayim. Ma mayim shalom nishtainu af ochel shalom nishtainu. So the geder of the iser bishal akum is dumya to mayim, just like water is something that doesn't undergo any transformation, so to any food that doesn't undergo any transformation. Then the Gemara has a variety of back and forth and dechias as to whether that analogy is indeed correct. And the Gemara eventually concludes on Lama Chasam and Aleph that it's not a, clearly not a dindaraisa. The pasuk is only nasmachta, and fundamentally, there's no real biblical source for bishalakim. It's only a din derabanan. Why do we have such a din derabanan? What was the basis of the gzeira? Says Rashi, top line lamechesem and aleph. Shelo yehi Yisrael ragel et slo b'machal v'mishta. The Achi Leonard Dover, tell me what's the concern? That if Jews are going to hang out with Nachrim and eat their food, the Nachrim may end up feeding non-kosher food to the Jew. Okay, says Tosos, quotes Rashi, V'yoser hayanir lefarish hatamishim chasinus. Now that we're concerned, Shiachi Leonard Dover, Tomei, but if you're going to eat their food, you may come up to marry their daughters. And in fact, Rashi himself says this on Lamed Hey Amid Beis. Turn back to the first page in the Mar Makomos, Dibur Maskel Vashlokos, about halfway through the medium-sized lines in Rashi. Kaldarish Abishlu Akum Afila Bechli Tor V'Kul Mishum Chasinus. All the Xeris in the Mishnah, including Bishal Akum, is Mishum Chasinus. So if that's the case, then why does Rashi give a different reason here, Lamed Ches, of Shema Yachilanu Davar Tame? Take a look at the next page, Erech HaShulchan, Kuf Yud Gimel, Os Beis. He suggests that maybe the reason Rashi needs an additional reason of Shem Yachalena Davar Tame. Rashi agrees, as he says in the Mishnah, that there's a concern of Chasinos. There's an additional consideration of Shem Yachalena Davar Tame to explain why there's no heter of Palter when it comes to Bishalakum, the way there's a heter of Pasakum. When it comes to Pasakum, there's a heter of commercially produced bread, where there's no real concern of chasinus because there's no relationship between the baker, the commercial baker, and the Yisrael. So at least where there's a need, you can rely on Pas Palter, but there's no such dispensation when it comes to Bishalakum. Why is that? So it must be you need an additional consideration of Shema Yachilena Davar Tame. Even if there's no concern of chasinus because there's no relationship between the proprietor, the factory, and the consumer, but there's still a concern of Shema Yachilena Davar Tame. Parenthetically, Ramosha has a phenomenal kula when it comes to Bishalakum, that kashrus organizations, at least OU, is reluctant to rely on lock, stock, and barrel, but will use as a tziruf, that limits the application of Bishal Akum in a commercial setting where the mode of commercial production differs significantly from the way you would cook the same food in your kitchen. So Moshe has kulas in that regard, where there's such a disconnect between the mode of Bishal in the factory setting and the mode of Bishal at home. So that's something that kashrus organizations will rely on as a tziruf, as a sniff together with other factors. But that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. According to Rashi, you need both reasons, Shema Yachilena Davar Tame, on top of the more generic concern of chasinus. The Bach has a different explanation. The Bach, in the beginning of Siman Reish Kuf Yud Gimel here, says maybe Rashi requires the reason of Shema Yachilena Davar Tame to explain why the scope of Bishal Akum is that broad. meaning if it's just a concern of chasanas, so maybe you would have limited the types of food that are subject to bishul akum even more. And because of Shema Yachaleta Dover Tomek, we'll see what the scope is, but the scope is broader than you might have thought otherwise. And then the Piskei Shuvah has another nafkamina. Take a look. Next page is the Mar Mekomos, Shulchan Aruch, Yaradeya, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, Dinei Bishulei Akum. The first Piskei Shuvah, Sivkatan Aleph, quotes that another nafkamina should be Bishul Mumer. When it comes to a mummer, so we're not concerned of Isser Chasanas, because there's no Isser to marry the daughter of a mummer, even though it might not be the best shidduch. But the concern of Shema Yachilenu Davar Tameh applies. So even if the first reason doesn't apply to a mummer, there's no Chasanas, but there still would be a concern of Shema Yachilenu Davar Tameh, as we've discussed in various contexts in the past. It's a little challenging to precisely define what a mummer is, and how many people actually would fit into that category. And I think poskim are generally makel about bishul akum when it comes to most of our generic mechalei Shabbos / mumrim. Rav Asher talks about it a little bit in his piece on bishul akum printed Chas Asher on Parshas Devarim. Okay, then the Gemara goes on back to Lamechesem and Aleph to discuss the parameters of bishul akum. Back to the top line. Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav. Anything that's eaten, that's edible in a raw state, so then there's no concern of bishul akum even if it's cooked. V'sura masnu hachi, v'pumpadisa masnu hachi, amar v'shmul bar Rav Yitzchak, amar Rav, kol she'enu nechal al shulchan melachim l'lafis ba'os hapas, ein bo mishum bishulei akum. Anything that is not eaten al shulchan melachim, which you'll have to define on the tables of kings, as a side dish to pass, isn't subject to bishul akum. The Gemara has nafkamina, and rovi shanim asim, that's how we assume lalacha, that both of these reasons are lemaisa lakula. So if any food is either not olal shulchan melachim or is nachal kamoshu chai, it's not subject to bishul akum. Take a look again in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Yud Gimel Fifth Aleph.
What's better with the reason of chas? That's not really funny.
Which one? So there is a machlokas we've shown him as to what the reason for each of those dispensations is. It could be that Kamel Shulchai is reflection of the quality of the food, or it could be it could fit with Shema Yachilenu Davar Tameh also, that if it's Nachal Kamoshu Chai, then it's less susceptible to tampering, because you don't need to do anything to it to produce it or to make it ready for eat. So it could work. It could work with both.
And Ola Shulchan Malachim
also, if it's something that's substantial, then obviously Chasanus. If it's less substantial, less of a concern of chasanas, but also if it's something that's less chashuv, then maybe yachilenu davar tameh is less relevant as well.
Well, it sounds like they weren't concerned about yachilenu davar tameh by pas, even though today it's changed, right?
Correct. Because there's just one recipe.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we pass in the Shulchan Aruch Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph. Davar she'einu nachal kamel she'uchai v'gam ola shulchan melachim l'lafis bo'os hapas ola parperes shebishlo ovek hachavim afilu b'chli Yisrael b'beis Yisrael aser mishum b'shele akum. So that's lafuke, the position that quoted in the Tosos that we started before, that Tosos rejects, that there's no iser b'shele akum if the nachri cooks it b'beis Yisrael. Fine. So we pass in order for it to be b'shele akum, it has to be both nachal kamel she'uchai and Ola al Shulchan Malachim. So what is the gather of Ola Shulchan Malachim? The Rabbi Ginnack, in an article in the first volume of Mesorah, quotes that he heard from Rav Schwab, that Rav Schwab once asked the Chazon Ish about the practice he had noticed in Europe, that there were Chashuva Rabbanim who ate canned sardines. So he asked the Chazon Ish, why isn't there a problem of bishul akum when it comes to canned sardines? And the Chazon Ish responded that the king of England eats sardines for breakfast. When Rav Schechter says this over, he usually says the Queen of England eats sardines for breakfast. But presumably Rav Schwab's version is more correct, as Rabbi Gedeck prints it, because Queen Elizabeth only took the throne in 52, and the Chazon Ish passed away in 1953. So presumably when this conversation took place, there was a King of England, although it's not something that exists in any of our memories. I was actually curious as to what the Queen of England Taka does eat for breakfast. So apparently there were four or five articles written in the last couple of years that indicate that she has tea with biscuits and usually cereal, most typically Special K. And on a rare occasion, she'll have scrambled eggs with smoked salmon, brown eggs, because she likes brown eggs more. But no indication of eating sardines, although I don't know that affects the Chazon Ish's line. But what you apparently see from that line of the Chazon Ish is that he assumed Ola Shalchem Lachem doesn't just mean that which would be served in a fancy, stately setting, but anything that the Melech would taka eat, even the Chadrei Chadarim. So if the President of the United States eats jelly beans, then that would be Ola Shalchem Lachem. But most poskim assume not that way. That is not dependent on what the monarch eats b'chadrei chadarim, but depends on what is served in a suda chashuva. What's a suda chashuva? Rabbi Heinrich from the Star K always likes to say that when he asks Shilas about Bishul Akam, he talks to the White House chef to see what they would serve at a state dinner. So he thinks that what's koveya shalchem alachim is what would be served at a state dinner. Rabbi Gedeck in that article says he heard from the Rav. The Rav thought that canned food is not considered Ola Shalchem Alachem, which he didn't explain, but Rabbi Gedeck thought maybe that fits into this also, that Rabbi Heinemann writes that he asked the White House chef, who told him that they would never ever serve canned food at a state dinner, so then that wouldn't be considered Ola Al Shalchem Alachem. Rabbi Willig pointed out that Rabbi Falk has an article somewhere, I don't remember where, that he thinks it's not even totally on... You could define Shalchem Lachem based on the state dinner, you could define it based on a fancy meal like a chasana. Rabbi Falk thinks that you should define it based on a chashuva suda that you would invite friends to. Whatever you serve when you have company over would be considered Ola Al Shalchem Lachem, like a Shabbos meal. And therefore, Rabbi Falk paskins that corn is considered Ola Shalchem Lachem because you serve corn when you have company over. So Rabbi Willig pointed out in that context that it is true that the Lashon HaRambam may have a mashmaos that way. The Rambam in Perek Yitzayin, Machalos Asuros, Halacha Tezayin, Perek Yitzayin, Halacha Tezayin, Rambam writes, Tesvav, Medvar Murim, Bidavishu, Ola Shulchan Malachim, Lechobos, Apas, Gagon, Basar, Beitzim, Dagim, Vichayotse, Behen. Aval Davish, Eno, Ola Shulchan Malachim, Lechobos, Apas, Enon, Harelem, Mutarin, Vichain, Kokayotse, Behen. Shikar, Xerim, Shiv Chasinus, Shalay Zamnu, Agai, Eslo, Besuda, Bidavish, Eno, Ola Shulchan Malachim, Lechobos, Apas, Ein adam mizamin es chaver olav. So something which isn't Ola Shalchem Lachem, a person wouldn't invite other people to eat. So a little bit of mashmos there, that it would be dependent on, or it's relevant to figure out what a person would invite other people to eat in his house. And there's a lashon in the Isser V'Heter. Take a look at the last two pages of the Mar Mekomos. The Isser V'Heter in Simon Mem Gimel Os Beis. He writes three lines in the bottom. Hu adin b'neimei ayim shel behema, the innards, the intestines of an animal. Kai gavna. Afa pisha eina davar roi litein lifnei orchim dechbadim. So even though that's something that you wouldn't give to chashuva guests, afilu kumi and apitios, mushrooms, deim olam yishim parperes, that it still would be considered parperes, and bishalakim for that reason. So he has the formulation of Litein Lifnei Orchim Nechbadim. However, Rabbi Willig pointed out that these formulations of the Rambam and the Isser V'Heter do not make it into Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah. So there's no indication that Allah Halacha, we would accept that definition, and therefore we should go with the, what we'll call the majority position among poskim, that what you're looking at is something at least or better than a chasana, somewhere between a chasana and a state dinner. This also relates to the question as to whether Bishul Akim is dependent on the nin or dependent on the product. So one of the more popular manifestations of this question is potato chips. Potato chips are made from potatoes. Potatoes generally are assumed to be Ola Shulchan Lachem because there are forms of potatoes that would be served at a state dinner. Notwithstanding the fact that the Aruch HaShulchan Bismana wrote, I think you have it here, take a look at, should be the fifth page of the Marmor Kamos. No, we don't have everything. It's in Sif Yuches. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, nah, potatoes are not Ola Shulchan Lachem because it's a poor man's food and no one of any importance would ever eat a potato. But nowadays, things have changed. So even though potatoes are typically served at, or would be served at state dinners, potato chips are not. Rabbi Heinemann writes that the White House chef told him they would never, ever serve potato chips at a state dinner. So do we follow the nin, or do we follow the product? So Rav Yashiv is quoted as saying that we follow the nin, that we follow the type. So if potatoes are Ola Shulchan Lachem, then potato chips are subject to Bishul Akim. I believe the Rav Yashiv is quoted in a piece in one of the early volumes of Tzohar, not connected to the more recent Tzohar organization, but about 20 years ago there was a series of journals put out in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Tzohar. I forget who wrote the article, one of those who recurred to Rav Yashiv. So he quotes Rav Yashiv as saying that potato chips are subject to Bishul Akim because it's totally on the min. Rabbi Belsky, in OU document A106, goes on a very strong tirade against such a suggestion, thinking or pointing out that he thinks whoever says such a thing is misreading the sources, because the Shach, we just noted the line of the Isser V'Heter that talks about the Korkovan as being subject to Bishul Akim. So that Isser V'Heter is quoted in the Shach in Sifkatan Beis. And why is that subject to Bishul Akim? So the Aruch HaShulchan, this you do have, in Os Yud, has a line. He quotes this Isser V'Heter, which is quoted l'halacha. And then he says, three lines in the bottom, Lo chilku chazal bein basar l'basar. The reason that the intestines of an animal are subject to Bishul Akim, or the Korkovan, is because lo plug, Chazal didn't distinguish between different types of basar. So if some basar is Ola Shulchan Malachim, then all basar is Ola Shulchan Malachim. So apparently that led some to say that it should be tali on the min, that all basar is subject to Ola Shulchan Malachim, and therefore all potatoes are Ola Shulchan Malachim. However, Rabbi Belsky didn't think that is pshat in this Isser V'Heter, nor the Aruch HaShulchan, because for one thing, the Ramah in the beginning of Siman Kuf Yud Beis Hilchos Pas Akum writes that if you writes that if you have rice bread in a location where that is chashuv, then that's considered subject to Bishul Akim on top of Pas Akim. And if it's in a place where it's not chashuv, it's not Ola Shulchan Malachim, then not. So there apparently you have the same min. And in a certain context it will be subject to Bishul Akim. In certain contexts, it won't be subject to Bishul Akim. So if you read the Isser V'Heter here in Sif Beis, and the Shach who accepts the Lalacha as saying that everything depends on the Min, so that's against the earlier Psakim Mechaber that the Shach doesn't argue on. Elawat. So nothing to do with the Min, says Rabbi Belsky. Rather, the Kavana of the Isser V'Heter, if you read it carefully, let's go back and read it carefully, two pages on the back of the Marmor Kamos. B'nei me'ayim shel behema afa b'she'en adabar roi litan lefnei orchem lechbadim afilu kumahin apityos deim olim ishum parparas. these things are considered to be subject to Bishul Akum because they're considered to be dessert. And dessert is sufficient to be considered Ola Shulchan Malachim if something is served for dessert. That's Lashon HaRambam that we quoted earlier, that it's not only Lelafes as a pass, not only what you eat as a side dish, but Parperis a pass as well if you eat it for dessert. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan's Kavana, that we're not Mechal between Basar and Basar, is that there's no type of meat that wouldn't be served at least for dessert. So the fact that you, even if you wouldn't serve B'nai Me'ayim as a main course, but at least you serve for dessert, who doesn't have intestines for dessert? So, therefore, there's no kind of meat that's not Ola Shulchan Malachim. But not to say that if you have a different kind of min that has different products, some of which are served at state dinners and some are not, so the fact that some are served at state dinners doesn't mean that the min in total is considered definitionally Ola Al Shulchan Malachim. So that's Rabbi Belsky's rejection of this claim that potato chips would be subject to Bishul Akum. Rav Schechter writes there that he was maskim to Rabbi Belsky's analysis that potato chips are not subject to Bishul Akum. This also relates to the question of Bishul Akum being dependent on time and place. So the Darkei Tshuva, the indications of this being the case in the Rambam, the Darkei Tshuva spells this out in Sifkat and Gimel, that the way we analyze whether something is subject to Bishul Akum, let's say if we're relevant both to Ola Al Shulchan Malachim and to Nechal Kamal Shuchai, is based on Hamakom Vazman. So therefore, Rav Schechter points out in the Blue Book, that the old collection of Oyev Sakim, written in the late 90s, or published in the late 90s, so in a 1996 tshuva, he writes that this new innovation of sushi that some people are eating here in New York, even though it's raw fish, so that's considered, people never used to eat raw fish, but even though you eat it together with vegetables, that's still considered kamoshu chai, and therefore there'd be no problem of Bishul Akum when it comes to sushi because it's nachal kamoshu chai, something that you eat raw. But he writes that's only true in the big cities like New York, where anashim chashuvim, where people eat sushi. But if you go to a small town like Scranton, so there presumably no one's eating sushi, and there sushi would be subject to Bishul Akum because it's not nachal kamoshu chai. I presume that 20 years later, even in Scranton, they're eating sushi at this point, and therefore the consensus of Poskim seems to be that sushi would not be a problem of Bishul Akum.
It's only relevant to cooked sushi, or do I cook fish? If the fish is Nechal Kamo Shuchai...
So if it's a kind of fish that is Nechal Kamo Shuchai...
Salmon. So if you cook salmon, that's considered Nechal Kamo Shuchai, is no Bishul Akum with salmon anymore?
They say because people eat salmon sushi...
Right.
Then salmon as a... So presumably would depend on how the... You know, as we were discussing before, the different manifestations of a min. So if there's... If salmon sushi is close enough in its presentation to regular salmon, then that would be considered nechal kamo shuchai. Or if you would take the salmon and could eat it raw... then I guess even another recipe of salmon would be considered nechal kamo shuchai. Unless it's a fundal.
Is sushi truly raw?
I don't know.
Because I think they pickle it or something.
Is rice nechal kamo shuchai? Probably serve rice at steak dinners. I think so. Yeah. I don't know what the mitzvah is. You're saying it's not really raw?
I'm not sure. I once heard that it's not really raw. They do something to it.
They do cooking or something else?
I'm not sure though. They pickle it. I'm not sure. I don't know the mitzvah.
Right. So if it does pickle, it may still be considered nekama shorchai if it doesn't require bishul.
Unless it's kavish or something, right?
Right. Don't know. It doesn't have to be all shochem. I don't know if it is, but even if it wasn't, once it's nechuk moshochai, that saves you even not having to come on to all shochem lachem. Okay, this subtopic I wanted to talk about, which we don't really have time for, is Hashlachas Kiseim and the use of pilot lights and Rabbi Heidemann's light bulb, whether that helps to obviate problems with Bishalakum. I think we're out of time. Okay.